Dear Lord, our Father, thank you for creating us as your daughters, unique, special, and dearly loved. Steady our hearts and our minds now as we listen to your truth through Michelle. Lord, please bless Michelle with calmness and clarity as she speaks to us now. And thank you for her willingness to teach us. And thank you, Lord, for your Bible, the Confident Woman's Handbook. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Michelle.
Well, I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the confident woman. Is it the supermodel strutting down the catwalk? Is it the female CEO who storms into the boardroom? Is it that mum who seems to have it all together, juggling soccer matches and ballet classes and still producing gourmet meals for her family? Is it the teacher who always has her classroom under control? Or the super grandma who travels the world, buys the coolest presents for her grandkids, and is the one they want to spend their special moments with? According to the world, we're all to be confident women, aren't we? We all have that ability within us to ooze confidence at any stage of life. According to the world, the world tells us you are a strong, confident woman. The world is your oyster. You can do anything you like. Well, of course, as long as you're 6'2" with long blonde hair, flawless skin, are a dress size 6, have a law degree from Harvard or Yale, okay, maybe Sydney Uni or ANU, you have 2.3 beautifully behaved children who slept through the night from the time they were born and are now at private schools on scholarships, not because you couldn't afford it, but because they're so extremely bright. It's amazing, isn't it, the mixed messages we get from the world. On the one hand, we're told to be strong, confident women. But on the other, we have all our confidence undermined because we aren't wearing the right makeup or clothes or have the right hair colour or our children don't behave according to the textbooks or our dinners aren't MasterChef standard. If you're a working mum, your confidence is undermined because you might not be giving your children enough attention. If you're a stay-at-home mum, your confidence is undermined by that question, so what do you do? And if you're still single over the age of 28, your confidence is eroded by that niggling feeling that maybe no man thinks you're good enough. Bam, bam, bam. Bit by bit, any form of confidence is knocked out of us. Just as we may begin to feel good about ourselves in one area of life, something happens to knock it out in all the others. We want to be strong, confident women. The world tells us to be strong, confident women. But how many of us genuinely are strong, confident women? My guess is probably none of us, really. We can be very good at faking it, but is that how we really feel about ourselves deep down inside? I suspect not. And why not? Well, because worldly confidence is merit-based. It's all about what you do and what you have, and the standard is always just that little bit higher than where you're at right now. And well, let's face it, we're women. Inside, us women feel guilty and unsure most of the time. We're never quite sure that what we've done is good enough or meets the standard. That's true for most things in our life. And my suspicion is that it's true for most of us in terms of having confidence in our salvation too. See, if worldly confidence is merit-based, it's very easy for us to have that suspicion deep down inside that maybe our salvation is too. We worry about not being good enough at our job or being a good enough wife or a good enough mother or a good enough friend. But none of those really compares to whether we feel we're a good enough Christian, does it? I mean, I mess up all the time. Can I really be sure that I'm going to heaven? When it comes to exploring this issue of whether we can have confidence in our salvation, we come to the very heart of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, you'll see it come up on the screen here, we read, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The whole reason that John wrote this letter was so that the Christians who read it would be confident of their salvation. Now, notice first of all that this is directed to Christians. That is, those that John defines in this verse as believers in the name of the Son of God. The confidence we are talking about here is only for Christians. So if that is not you, please listen carefully to find out how you can be set free from the tyranny of this world and become a confident woman in Christ. Now, secondly, notice the little four-letter word in this sentence that makes Christianity different to every other religion in the world, the word know. Christians can know that they have eternal life. They can know that they will get into heaven. It's not that we may feel that we have eternal life or think or hope, but rather that we may know that we have eternal life. This is something we can have confidence in. Now, that can sound pretty arrogant, can't it? That can sound like we're saying we think we are good enough to go to heaven. So much for humility, we've failed the goodness test already. But John uses this little word, know, that expresses certainty 15 times in this little letter. Well, now, we obviously won't be looking at all of those in this session, but we'll go to three verses where he summarises all his other uses of that word. These are in verses 18 to 20 of chapter 5, where we get the repeated use of the expression, we know. And each of these statements tells us why we can be women who are confident of going to heaven. First, in verse 18, the confident woman knows that her sin has ended. You see there, verse 18 says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. So as Christians, those who are born of God, we cannot continue to sin. Now, like me, you might be thinking, that does not give me any confidence at all. I sin all the time. Does that mean I'm not really a Christian at all? But our first basis for confidence is not looking inwards, not looking at whether we've been good enough Christians or not. Now, our first basis for confidence is to look back 2,000 years in history to a Jewish man, dying on a lonely cross outside the city of Jerusalem. A man who with his last breath cried, "It is finished." With those three words, we can have full assurance that all of our sins have been paid for and there is nothing left to pay. So this verse is saying that even though you still do sinful things, because you are born of God, Jesus keeps you safe. His death means that all your sins have already been paid for, so they are no longer counted as sin. So in that sense, you cannot continue to sin, and the evil one cannot accuse you of sin. He cannot harm you. I think the meaning of this verse is captured beautifully in the lines of the song we're going to sing after this, called Before the Throne of God Above, where it says, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin." Jesus has made an end to all my sin. Do you feel that sense of relief and that new sense of confidence? I sure do. Instead of beating myself up whenever I do something wrong or say something silly, I try to remind myself, it is finished. Sure, confess your sin. Sure, ask for forgiveness from God and the person you have sinned against. But don't go on feeling guilty for it. It is finished. Jesus has paid for it already, and your place in heaven is no less secure than it was before you did the wrong thing. Sisters, we can be confident women because we know that our salvation is not based on us being good enough, but is based on Jesus having taken away all our sin. There is nothing left for us to feel guilty or condemned for. Well, in verse 19, we have a second reason for being confident that we are saved. Verse 19 says, "We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." We are God's children. How amazing is that? We are from God and we belong to him. Let's stop and think a moment what that means in terms of being confident in our salvation. We are children of God. Our identity is firm and secure in him. By contrast to the rest of the world who are under the control of the evil one, we Christians have a deep and intimate relationship with God our Father. He is not just the Father, he is our Father and we are his daughters. Knowing that gives us confidence of our salvation, because just as any truly loving parent here on earth does not kick their child out of home every time they do something wrong, God will not kick us out of our eternal home with him. We can be secure in the knowledge that we belong to him now and we will belong to him for all eternity. We can be confident of our salvation because we are daughters of the living God. Well, finally, for these three statements of certainty, we turn to verse 20 that says, "We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." We have an historical certainty that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come. As we saw in the opening verses of this letter, John was an eyewitness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He tells us that Jesus truly existed and truly came. More than that, Jesus has given us understanding so that we can know the Father. The Father is the one who is true. Remember this morning Tori talked about being able to walk in the light because of Jesus? Well, here again we see that we only have relationship with the Father because Jesus has made him known to us. Here we see that our certainty of heaven is based on our relationship with God the Father through God the Son. And it's not based on an academic knowledge of God. Rather, to know him who is true is to know God like you know your best friend. It's a relational term. It's not a textbookish term. And this relationship is even more intense than the one you have with your best friend. Because as you see in the next verse, we are in him who is true. We are in Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus in the way that Jesus belongs to God. We are in him as he is in the Father. So then we're in the Father also. And how do we know that we are in him? Well, if we look back at two other verses in 1 John, we see that we know this because of the Holy Spirit. So the second half of 1 John 3:24 says, "And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." And 1 John 4:13 says, "We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit." So not only do we live in Jesus, but Jesus has given us his Spirit so that we can know that. And having his Spirit means that he also lives in us. So we have God in us. That's pretty amazing, huh? Now, if you look at back to the last sentence in verse 20, it's stated that Jesus is the true God and eternal life. So if we're in Jesus, in that completely entangled, intimate relationship with him that cannot be divided or broken, then we are in eternal life. It is this relationship with the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, that makes us confident women. Women confident of eternal life because we are in the one who is eternal life. So we've seen three life-changing truths that tell us that we can be confident women. One, because our sin has ended. Two, because we are daughters of the living God. And three, because we are in Jesus and Jesus is eternal life. Now, did you notice that none of those reasons told us to look inward, to look at ourselves and find assurance of how we're going as Christians or how much we've changed? No, they're all related to God's actions, to God saving us through his Son's death and resurrection. If we want objective and true confidence, we don't look inwards. We look back 2,000 years to Jesus' death on the cross, and we look up to the risen Christ who has conquered sin and brought us into eternal life with him. However, there is also a subjective element to our confidence in the letter of 1 John. That is the kind of confidence that does come from looking at our lives and how we're living. We see it in verses like 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, that says, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands." But this subjective confidence is secondary and only comes as a result of the objective confidence because of Christ, which is primary. See, having confidence that we will stand before God on the last day, as chapter 2, verse 28 and chapter 4, verse 17 tell us, having this confidence will actually change the way that we live now. And that changed living shows that we actually know God and that we are convinced of our eternal future with him. Let me give you some examples of how having objective confidence in our salvation may change the way that we live now, and then we'll come back to subjective confidence and see how that works. Okay? So how might this objective confidence change the way we live now? Well, first of all, having confidence in our salvation makes us grateful to God and makes us long to live the way he wants us to live. God has given us his precious Son so that we can have eternal life with him. How can we not want to stop sinning? Sure, we will still regularly commit sins, but we no longer do so carelessly or thinking that sin doesn't matter. We know that it matters so much that Jesus has died in our place because of it. So it changes the way we live now. Secondly, I think having a confidence in our eternal life with God drives out the fear that we might be missing out on something better in this life. It stops us from having a just-in-case sort of attitude that causes us to hold on to our earthly possessions because we don't want to have missed out if we're wrong about heaven. We are freed up by this confidence to live for Christ and Christ alone. We are freed up to be generous with our money because we know that a bigger house or car or investment portfolio have no significance in heaven. We become convinced that the most important thing for our children is not whether they become professional sports people or top their year academically or blitz their piano exams, but that what is truly important for them is to know their heavenly future, to know Christ, and to know their mum's trust in the gospel. For those of you who are single like me, this confidence in Christ frees us up from thinking, I have to get married just in case this world is all I get. We are freed up from the tyranny of thinking we're missing out on intimacy and relationship because we know that the most intimate relationship we will ever have, whether we are married or single, is the relationship you have with the one who knows you, who loves you, and who has saved you. And we get to have that relationship for all eternity, not just 50, 60, or maybe even 70 years. So having objective confidence in our salvation, confidence because of what Christ has done on the cross, makes us want to obey God, makes us want to stop sinning, and it stops us from living a just-in-case sort of attitude to life. It frees us to live for Christ and Christ alone. Now, let me just clarify or reaffirm here. Doing these things, being obedient and not living a just-in-case sort of attitude, does not somehow make you saved or make you more sure of your faith. Rather, these things flow out automatically from being sure of what Jesus has done to bring about your salvation, from the freedom you have because of what Christ has done on the cross and because of your relationship with him. We need to get things in the right order here. It would be very easy for me to give you a long list of things to go home and do to look and feel more like a saved Christian. But that would be like me telling you how to paint a wooden apple to look exactly like the real thing. No matter how much like the real thing it looks, it is never going to have that beautiful crunch when you bite into it. It's never going to become the real thing. In the same way, being obedient and doing the right thing does not make you a Christian. It doesn't save you. But the fact that you are already doing these things gives you subjective confidence that you are a Christian, that they're flowing out from your relationship with Christ. See, if we come back to our verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. And we'll also look at two more like it. 1 John 3:10 says, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." 1 John 3:21 says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God." If we look at these verses, we'll find that they talk about us having subjective confidence from looking at our attitudes and how we're living. These verses are not now saying that you have to do all these things in order to be sure that you're saved and going to heaven. No, these verses are saying that being obedient and doing the right thing are signs that you are already confident of your salvation. What's more than that is that they show us that we have God's Spirit living in us. It is his Spirit that makes us confident women. Makes us confident and causes us to want to do good things. So even these good things we do are God's work and not ours anyway. So as we finish up, sisters, we live in a sinful and fallen world where many of us have doubts, and many of us go through regular periods of doubt. Some will even face doubt because of these very verses today, because we'll think, I'm not completely obedient to Christ. I don't always love my brother. I still sin. But sisters, while there is a place to look at your own life, don't forget that these lives can only be changed by the Holy Spirit convicting you of the true and objective confidence, the confidence that comes from what we know of Christ and his work to bring about our salvation. Look to him first and not to yourself. I really don't want you leaving here today thinking, here are all the things I must do to be a better Christian. I want you to leave here today as confident women, as confident mums who think, what a wonderful saviour is Jesus, that he has taken away my sin. As confident grandmothers who know that Jesus has made you daughters of the living God. And as confident married or single women who know that Jesus has assured you of eternal life with him because you now live in him. So finally, to fill in that little box at the bottom of your page, for those who've got their notes open, actually, if you don't have them, you might want to just grab it out because there's a few little symbols there. I'll just give a quick explanation of what they are. Are you ready? To be confident women, don't spend all your time looking inwards, but instead be set free by looking back to the cross and up to the risen Christ who has made an end to all your sin. For Christ alone is the reason we have confidence in our salvation. It is because of him alone that we are now confident women. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you that we can be confident because of Jesus. We thank you that our salvation is not merit-based, but is based on what Christ has done for us. And we thank you that his death secures us an eternal future, an eternal home in heaven with you. And we long for that day, Father, when we will be gathered around your throne as confident women. In Jesus' name, amen.